AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. For Monroe, Juneau, and Adams counties, call Josh at 608-322-2190. For Jackson County, call Rhett at 715-771-3535. For Clark, Marathon, Wood, and Portage counties, call Ashley at 920-501-8717. And for Wisher and Wapaka counties, call Kate at 920-401-5470.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Dangerously hot weather continues across the country. CBS's Christian Benavides is in Miami.
This relentless and stifling heat wave has more than 110 million people under excessive heat warnings and advisories. In Georgia, outdoor workers are trying to keep cool.
What I tell them is just drink plenty of water, take shade if you have to.
In California, firefighters are struggling to handle the temperatures.
So we're wearing that same gear, you know, to keep us safe. But yet now we're dealing with these temperatures, these outside temperatures.
In fact, it's so hot.
Now it's at 165.
That the pavement is sending some to the burn unit.
More than 3,500 temperature records nationwide have been set this month alone. A rapidly moving wildfire on the Greek island of Rhodes has forced thousands of residents and tourists to evacuate. CBS's Haley Ott is monitoring developments.
Rhodes is a popular tourist destination, and many vacationers have had to flee their hotels, heading to beaches for safety, some walking miles or wading through water to get to rescue boats. Many spent the night in school playgrounds or gyms.
It's estimated more than 19,000 people have been taken off the island so far. The Justice Department says it's prepared to sue the state of Texas if its floating barrier of buoys isn't removed. Texas Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez reacted on CBS's Face the Nation.
This has been happening every single week we've seen people drown. Last year, there were hundreds of migrants that are drowning. I'm glad it's getting some attention. I'd much rather see the attention get focused on something else. The reality is the buoy is only a very small little portion of the river.
President Biden called the barrier unlawful and raises humanitarian concerns. A hospital security guard in Portland, Oregon has been killed and a second hospital employee injured. KOIN-TV reporter Joelle Jones has details.
That security guard was shot and killed on the fifth floor of the hospital near the birthing center. The suspected shooter was shot during an officer-involved shooting.
That suspect was killed. A strike is looming at UPS. KPIX-TV's John Ramos reports from San Francisco.
The deadline is August 1st. After that, if there is no agreement, the Teamsters say they will bring a halt to delivery of nearly one quarter of the nation's commercial goods.
Members are engaged and they're willing to fight for what we're asking for. We're going back to negotiations in the last week. If they don't pay up, we're going to shut them down.
Talks resume on Tuesday. And protests continue in Israel over conservative judicial reforms.
I came here to protest against the dictatorship that's becoming of my country.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I'm looking for fuel injector cleaner.
Right now, buy a bottle of Chevron Techron Complete Fuel System Cleaner and get one free, only at AutoZone.
Will it also help with my mileage?
Get everything you need to restore your performance in MPGs.
Wait, is it good for trucks too?
Whatever vehicle you have, you can find the right products and parts at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts provides more than just the right parts for your repair. Our professional parts people can also offer free check engine light diagnosis. We can scan your vehicle and provide a list of possible fixes, find the right parts for you, or recommend a great local repair shop. Don't ignore your check engine light. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 86, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 58. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered storms. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 88, a blend of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Cripescast. This week, my guest is comedian Rory Scovel. He is so funny, so good. He's coming into Milwaukee and a bunch of dates around the Midwest coming into Milwaukee soon. Check it out. Ticket links and all that. Colleen Maraca, what EP of the Cripescast. Colleen, what day is Rory coming to Milwaukee?
Rory's coming to Milwaukee. He's coming to the Turner Hall Ballroom July 21st. Tickets are at roryscovel.com. He's also got some Minneapolis dates around then, Chicago. So, yeah, if you're not specifically in the Milwaukee area, like, it's the perfect time. It's right in the summer. That's when you ought to be in the Midwest. So he's going to be, long story short, he's going to be in the Midwest.
Yeah,
he's coming here the 21st.
He's so funny, too. I mean, if any of you are looking, you know, he's actually talking. We talked in this podcast. He's working. He's tightening up his next hour. So it's going to be a real treat to go see him. So, anyway, we'll chit chat with him in a minute.
You guys also went down like a Catholic church rabbit hole of all.
And let me say this off the top, because I grew up Catholic, he grew up Catholic, and there's a lot of great things about, you know, the Catholic faith and all this and that, and, you know, a lot of people get a lot of good out of it, and I think you certainly can, but I think you also have to acknowledge that the Catholic Church has had some problems, historically speaking, you know, Crusades being one of them. Also the whole pedophilia aspect. So, you know, you can't just look at the positive aspects of something. And, you know, that church, like any other church, is inherently flawed because you got people involved and people are inherently flawed. So to not acknowledge that is a little disingenuous, but that was a disclaimer. With all that said, you know, I think we went it was really cool talking to him, just because he is sort of a comedian's comedian, you know. Conan really, I think, gave him an awesome platform, really sending him on his career. And he does so many creative, cool things, an entire, you know, stand up special, just crowd work. His crowd work and improv is so good. His, you know, straight stand up is amazing. So, I really like talking to him. And also, you know, we have a lot of similarities. You know, we had the news business. We both come from big families, Catholic families. And it was kind of cool talking about that. What did you like about it, Colleen? Tell me what you liked about my podcast, Colleen. Not fishing for compliments at all, but
this
you know.
Is the affirmation. This is the affirmation hour. this is the only time I'm nice to Charlie is when we're on air.
When we're on air. And you're not even, can I just say, you're not even that, you don't even pretend to be that nice to me on air.
I just want to like make a disclaimer that I am normally a nice person, but I think Charlie just brings the worst out of me.
Oh, that's nice of you to say live on air.
I'm kidding.
That's really nice. Anyways, folks, I do want to let you know, if you're looking for an interesting environmental way to clothe yourself, we've got a bunch of merchandise on mandoaugment.com, made in the USA, which means lower carbon footprint, also supports American workers. You can check it out, cripescast.com, click on the merch section, and you can also find us, patreon.com/CharlieBehrens. Two great ways to support the pod. And with that, should we get right into it?
Also, one other thing.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about tour. We have more tour dates coming up. So just like when people email in or whatever, or message in being like, when are tour dates coming up? We update the Cripescast website and charliebehrens.com pretty much instantaneously as we know tour dates. So if you're like, Also, send us places that we should send Charlie for tour dates. But be checking our tour pages pretty regularly. That's when we will let folks know that you're going specific places.
Excellent. Yeah. And we also do a first look at tour dates, the initial push on the Patreon. So if you want like those initial blip on tickets, check that out too. All right. Well, that's enough promo-y stuff. Should we dive in, Callie?
Please.
All right. Let's talk to Rory Scovel. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Cripescast. This week, my guest is comedian Rory Scovel. He is so funny. He's coming into Milwaukee and a bunch of dates around the Midwest coming into Milwaukee soon. Check it out. Ticket links and all that. Colleen Maraca, what EP of the Cripescast. Colleen, what day is Rory coming to Milwaukee?
Rory's coming to Milwaukee. He's coming to the Turner Hall Ballroom July 21st. Tickets are at roryscovel.com. He's also got some Minneapolis dates around then, Chicago. So, if you're not specifically in the Milwaukee area, like it's the perfect time. It's right in the summer. That's when you ought to be in the Midwest. So he's going to be, long story short, he's going to be in the Midwest. Yeah. He's coming here the 21st.
He's so funny too. I mean, he's working, he's tightening up his next hour. So it's going to be a real treat to go see him. Anyway, we'll chit chat with him in a minute.
You guys also went down like a Catholic church rabbit hole of all.
Yeah. And let me say this off the top. Cause I grew up Catholic. He grew up Catholic, and there's a lot of great things about, you know, the Catholic faith and all this and that. And, you know, a lot of people get a lot of good out of it. And I think you certainly can. But I think you also have to acknowledge that the Catholic Church has had some problems, historically speaking, you know, Crusades being one of them. Also, the whole pedophilia aspect. So, you know, you can't just look at the positive aspects of something. And, you know, that church, like any other church, is inherently flawed because you got people involved and people are inherently flawed. So to not acknowledge that is a little disingenuous, but that was a disclaimer. With all that said, it was really cool talking to him just because he is sort of a comedian's comedian, you know. Conan really, I think, gave him an awesome platform, really sending him on his career. And he does so many creative, cool things, an entire, you know, stand-up special, just crowd work. His crowd work and improv is so good. His, you know, straight stand-up is amazing. So, I really like talking to him. And also, you know, we have a lot of similarities. You know, we had the news business. We both come from big families, Catholic families. And it was kind of cool talking about that. What did you like about it, Colleen? Tell me what you liked about my podcast, Colleen. Not fishing for compliments at all, but
this
you know.
Is the affirmation. This is the affirmation hour. this is the only time I'm nice to Charlie is when we're on air.
When we're on air. And you're not even, can I just say, you're not even that, you don't even pretend to be that nice to me on air.
I just want to like make a disclaimer that I am normally a nice person, but I think Charlie just brings the worst out of me.
Oh, that's nice of you to say live on air.
I'm kidding.
That's really nice. Anyways, folks, I do want to let you know, if you're looking for an interesting environmental way to clothe yourself, we've got a bunch of merchandise on mandoaugment.com, made in the USA, which means lower carbon footprint, also supports American workers. You can check it out, cripescast.com, click on the merch section, and you can also find us, patreon.com/CharlieBehrens. Two great ways to support the pod. And with that, should we get right into it?
Also, one other thing.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about tour. We have more tour dates coming up. So just like when people email in or whatever or message in being like, when are tour dates coming up? We update the Cripescast website and charliebehrens.com pretty much instantaneously as we know tour dates. Also, send us places that we should send Charlie for tour dates. But be checking our tour pages pretty regularly. That's when we will let folks know that you're going specific places.
Excellent. Yeah. And we also do a first look at tour dates, the initial push on the Patreon. So if you want like those initial blip on tickets, check that out too. All right. Well, that's enough promo-y stuff. Should we dive in, Callie?
Please.
All right. Let's talk to Rory Scovel.
So, yeah, where are you right now? Where's your home at? A specific address and location?
Yep. And here's my social and credit card. I am in Los Angeles. I've been gone for about 2 months in Atlanta. And before that, I was doing the tour. And now I'm back in LA before I start the next leg of this tour.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're coming, I see, to the Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you played that venue before?
I have not. No, I've only played Milwaukee one other time. It was a comedy club. And I think it was probably, 11 plus years ago. So pretty excited to get back.
Was that the club that was below a strip club?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of
I can't remember
what tap and heels. Yeah. Something like that.
It was a long, long time ago. But yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a goofy one. Not a bad initial premise. I mean, I bet you could do a supercut of all the comedians making fun of that aspect of it. You'd probably get a nice little video there.
Opening local banter always included the strip club for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to avoid it on that, you know? Yeah.
Right.
I'll go talk to the guy upstairs or something like that. Gal upstairs. I don't know. There's some jokes there. Are you excited to go back on tour? Or are you enjoying not?
Yeah, I am excited. I was getting into a pretty good rhythm, and then I was fortunate enough to get cast in a movie that shot in Atlanta, so that kind of took me away from it. And so I'm excited. You know, once I had my rhythm going, it feels like such a comfortable space to be in for stand-up. So I'm excited to like find it again. But I will say, sometimes when you take time off, it's kind of great, because then when you go back to do the hour again, it's changed a little bit. You're out of the repeated script of what all the jokes, you know, like they change because you forget a little bit, you know.
Yeah, because you haven't memorized to a degree, or at least the beats, and then you can live in it a little more and take the moments.
That's
you
right.
know, like, you ever shoot a special, and then I'm sure you probably have, and then you're still doing maybe some of the material because the special hasn't come out, and you're like, damn, that should have been the special.
Yeah. And then you also like, you think of a tag that you're like, that was there the whole time. Or like, for some, this is what I love and hate about it. It's like, to your example, like then like the light bulb goes off and you realize, actually, this joke should have gone after that joke, and I should have gotten rid of that one sentence that no one ever laughed at, but for some reason I kept saying it. Yeah. And then it's always after the fact. And as frustrating as that is, there is something I still love about that as well, where it's kind of always changing and growing, even when you have to walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the next time I do a special, I may like tell myself I'm going to do this special, but no, it's not really the special. I don't think it's going to work though. I think you need that, like, okay, this is it, to like totally screw yourself mentally. But then that release is when you find a lot of beauty.
I think my goal is at the end of this tour in like November or whatever, we kind of keep finding dates here and there to add, but I'm hoping that all of this repetition of doing it over and over again, that either I do find those sweet gems that you're talking about that kind of appear out of nowhere before we record, or I get so tired of doing this hour that I don't even
care.
As soon as we shoot, I don't know that for us comics that there is a perfect special where you go, and that was me peaking, and that was when I loved it. It's like, no, we usually record when we're so tired of it.
I know.
Too early, or we do it too early where it hasn't cooked enough.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then there's always that one show. Like for me, it was like, I think Minneapolis at the State Theater. I'm like, that I should have recorded.
Yeah.
That was it. And no, I didn't do anything. I don't even think I recorded the audio on it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just it. It's better in my memory, you know, than it actually was. That could be.
You know what I think? I think it's because I think what we do is so with that, because it's a live experience, it's so with that live crowd.
Yeah.
That us recording albums, which is a kind of a different story, but you know, recording specials, it's kind of not ever going to accurately grab what it is we do, because as soon as those cameras are on and the stakes are raised, we're no longer up there just kind of noodling around with the guitar, having fun. We're it's got to be perfect and it's got to be concrete, because when I die, this will still,
I know,
this will be my legacy. We think so grandeur of ourselves that we think this matters so much. And on nights where you don't have the camera going, you and an audience walks away, like you're saying at the State Theater, you and an audience walk away going, that was the greatest night. That was the greatest show. But yet it wouldn't have been if you would have put four or five cameras up.
That's really it. So the trick then is, you know, we just have to spend all the money that we would make on these shows filming every show, and then we'll have no money, but a great show somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then also chop them all together where our clothes are changed. The backdrop is changing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Adam Sandler did that on, I forget, like 99% Fresh or whatever.
His last one. Yeah.
Have you ever seen any other comedians do it that way, where you take like clips from different places?
You'd have to have a crazy budget. And so,
because you'd have to film
to be
all of
him.
Them. Yeah.
You'd have to be him and beyond, because you need the crew. You've got to have your director. I can't even imagine what sitting down and cutting that thing been like.
I would have to.
I'm glad you did it. No one else would. You'd have to be his level of fame to get that budget to do it. And if I had that, I don't know that I would want to do that. I think I'd still be like, no, let's not shoot everything.
Because it kind of it can get in the way a little bit. I mean, now guys are bringing camera people out, you know, to every shoot to get those crowd work clips.
Those clips.
Yeah.
And that's really helping our craft. And I've always appreciated that.
I can just feel I'm bathing in the sarcasm right now. How do you truly feel about that? I mean, it's, I don't know.
I think all of us as individual artists and employees have to survive. And I think we live in a strange time. And also we work in a strange medium of live entertainment, and we've got to do what we got to do. I think overall, I like posting clips that are jokes that I just don't do anymore. And hopefully that gains me some tickets. Honestly, ticket sales. Hopefully that gets people to come to a
show.
That's
why we're doing it.
But I don't want people showing up assuming, I love crowd work. I like doing that stuff too, but I don't want anybody showing up assuming that is what I do and that's what I want them to actively participate in and inspire and go after, because I really want to do my act and I want to be in control of the show and I don't want to have to throw people out. I don't have to remind someone a 10th time to stop talking. But I think there's people that go to shows now actively wanting to be in a clip, wanting to be something. Oh yeah, I saw that on their page. That's my voice. That's me in the crowd.
Yeah, and now there's shooting of the crowd. So now there's that further invitation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have you noticed a distinct change in that in your shows with your audience?
I think because this is a tour. I mean, if I was just doing clubs right now, I might notice that. That might be the case. But I think maybe because it's more these theaters and less clubs, you get less of that. You know, you don't see a lot of clips where people are playing a theater and getting crowd work stuff. And again, like I'm not anti crowd work, but if you post a bunch of clips of just doing crowd work, I think I personally, as an audience member, I would wonder what is the product. And I get it. You don't want to burn material. And that's why I sit here saying everyone's got to do their own thing, because I couldn't tell you what the solution is. You know, I don't know how long you've been doing this. I'm on, I think, 18 or 19 years. I liked it back when this was not a part of our craft. You just wrote your thing and you tried to collect email addresses.
Right. Get your list going. Yeah. Give me your email address. I'll give you a free sticker, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Those days are obviously long gone, but I appreciated that when it was like, oh, yeah. And then you just get up and you do your thing, you play your show, and you don't have to get involved in this other aspect of our craft. I mean, getting up and doing stand up alone, you know, the amount of people that say, I don't know how you can do it, even though you know how you can do it and it's not as crazy as people's interpretation of it is. But still, a lot of people don't want to publicly speak under any circumstances. And yet we are able to get up there and do it. And it is still a hard thing to do, to entertain people, and it'd be captivating and interesting for anywhere from 20 to 60 minutes. That is a tough thing to do, and to craft an act that can accomplish it, then on top of it, it's like, now also be your own web designer and be your own clip maker and be your own. And you know, look at us. I mean, I have a podcast. You've got a podcast. We're having to like find these other outlets of promoting ourselves. And
we're doing
these other fields.
Five different jobs, six different jobs. Do you have a team helping you out? Or are you doing all this kind of?
For helping me out with clips, I have a friend, Chad, who was doing stuff for Todd Glass, and now he started doing mining clips for me and posting Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and all the various outlets of trying to get people aware of you. But I'd say it's like basically him doing it. I have a friend, Garrett, who redid my website.
Shout out to Garrett. Shout out
Garrett,
to Chad.
Garrett Boatman, Chad Maxwell. But yeah, I don't know. It's all confusing me because I'm pretty lazy in general. I like getting on stage and doing stand up and having that be my job. Let me create the product. And if someone's like, this is what we should do with the product, well, then I'm all ears and I'm open to someone doing it. I just don't want to be the one to do it because I just want to focus on what we do, which, and these are the things I enjoy. I like getting on stage and I like doing my podcast. I love those things.
Yeah. Because the other aspect, the editing, all that puts you in such a different headspace and it burns you out quick, I think.
Yeah. It's like trying to make a movie and deciding you're going to be the head of every department. It's like, right. You can't do wardrobe. You can't do makeup and hair and set design. Yeah. You just do the thing you did, which is write it or direct it or act in it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's too much.
Yeah. It is a lot. You have some of the, I mean, craziest crowd work, though. I forget. I didn't see this. I think I heard this a little while ago. So if I get this story wrong, excuse me. But you were doing a show maybe in New York or something, and you're doing crowd work, and you just walked out of the club and brought like your mic was still on so they could still hear you. And then you right. talked to like a taxi driver or something and brought him back on stage.
I did that in San Diego.
Okay.
I was down there doing Conan's, you know, he does Conan Con, like he does.
Oh yeah. During
the thing.
Yeah.
During Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we were down there and at the time I was doing my fully improvised hour type shows and they asked if I wanted to do it. So I was in a venue where the door off the stage really went right into the street and there was a like a limo driver, but now it's not limos. It's like these nice black SUVs. It was like a driver.
Yeah.
And he was just standing there and for some reason was willing to come back on stage. And I gave him a microphone and just kind of chatted with him and interviewed him. But it was funny because he was waiting on someone who was at my show without that person to be like leaving. They were leaving early.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, when you're improvising an hour, you're like, oh, I need all the wood possible to keep feeding the fire. So as soon as that was outed, like that gave me a direction to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that. That working was all hinged on that guy being down to play. And obviously, like, he was super chill too.
So when you take like a risk like that, I mean, that's the high. And you've got to probably, I would imagine, have an equal low. Do you have like something where you tried going big and it just bombed horrendously?
Nothing comes to mind. I mean, and it's probably because our brains protect us. So all those times I bombed, my brain's like, delete that, delete it. Only remember the good.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any time where I tried to go super big with something and it didn't pan out to be anything. Cause I'm always very cautious. Like if that guy would have come on stage and his vibe would have been strange, I probably would have, you know, I waited a second before I gave him a mic to participate. Okay. You know what I mean? You're trying to read you're trying to read the defense a little bit before you throw the ball. So I haven't run into taking big swings and then it not pan out. I've taken big swings where, I have one example that was kind of a tough recovery. I was performing in Tampa Bay. I think it was the Improv, and someone got up to go to the bathroom. And so I got a second microphone. I put my microphone on the stage, and I've done this before, and I think it's really funny, but I put the microphone on stage and then I went and hid with another microphone. And I told the audience to pretend like they can still see me on stage. So when that person comes back, they're like, what are we looking at? Maybe it looks weird to them. and that person was leaving. They never came back.
Oh, really?
They weren't going. They were done with the show. All of my stories involve people leaving early. They were leaving the show. And so eventually, after 5 minutes, I just had to get back on stage with an entire audience being like, why did we do what in the f- was that? And then, you know, going straight to material to be like, all right, let's see if I have any A cards that I can try to build some momentum again.
Well, that's
I also
fun.
Stupidly did it towards the end of the show, too. So,
oh, like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's definitely a middle portion, you know,
yes,
where you can they're either clearly mad and leaving. There's not really mistaking the bathroom for jetting out of there early to beat the rush of traffic in Tampa. Beat those chickens. They got so many wild chickens down there.
Yeah. You know, Tampa's a strange, Florida's a strange state.
It is a strange state. Yeah. It's, it's crazy, man. And also, like, I was talking to some people, it got leveled by the, hurricane and like Fort Myers, I think they're like, yeah, it's all leveled. I'm like, so are people going to rebuild there? They're like, oh yeah, that's a hot real estate market. I'm like, wow, we are just dumb people in general. You know, we are just, you know, like
it's the best place to live for till the next hurricane.
You're right, which will be any day now, you know.
Yeah,
it's nuts. I don't know what that's about. Hottest day of the year ever recorded a couple days ago, you know.
In Florida or what?
Everywhere around the planet.
Overall records were broken.
Yeah, that's interesting. Surprising. Surprising to you?
Not surprising, eternally terrifying. Mm-hmm. I go down that road of politics and environmental concern and live in that eternal question mark of, well, where, outside of myself doing the best I can to not be trying to not endanger the environment, what can we do? Because I think we're learning more and more. It's becoming more and more difficult to convince anyone of any slight change that might be positively affecting anything. And so you kind of just are like, all right, well, I think about my own health. I just go, all right, you know what? If someone eats meat and they go, it's fine, eat a ton of meat. And then someone says, eat less meat, it's better for your body. And then someone says, don't eat any meat at all. It's really bad for the environment. I live in that space of going, well, I don't need anyone to convince me that eating a lot of meat is unhealthy. That should be a logical thing. Now, the road of no meat or less meat, that's do what you want. I fully believe our agriculture is destroying I think it is the main contributing factor of our climate issues. But for me personally, who was raised on meat, I'm not sitting here 100% not eating meat as someone aware of the problem. So with me being in that mind frame, I don't know how you convince someone who couldn't even fathom these ideas as being, you know, as changing positively towards any kind of change. I don't know. That was a confusing sentence. But I think
no, I get what you're saying. If you yourself, knowing everything, can't be fully on board with it, how can you expect to convince someone whose entire livelihood depends on that kind of situation?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you on that. Yeah. And then the interesting thing is it's possible that all this AI stuff can figure out how to, you know, sequester carbon more efficiently than we can. And then the question is, you know, do we all, you know, is it climate change that takes care of humanity, or is it AI, you know, that takes care of humanity? And by takes care, I mean
takes kills,
goner. Yep. Yeah, there are no goal anymore, you know.
Yeah,
they're gone.
You know, I the AI thing is interesting because it there is this element of hope and this element of fear at the same time, because and the fear is justified, but it does also come from a place of fictional storytelling where all we've ever told ourselves is that robots are not our friends and intelligent non-life forms, non-living entities will want to kill us. We've been told that. And so
Terminator.
We believe that. And it doesn't mean, yeah, exactly. And it doesn't mean we're wrong. And, you know, I think it's right to be fearful of anything like until you really understand what it is. But we never kind of go down the road of like, is there anything, is there any percentage of something positive to gain from this, from something that is going to be smarter than us? Do we have to assume that it will be evil? Do we have to assume that it will learn that we are the problem? Or will it develop and just actually want to help us and be motivated to help us? I know this is a very broad statement because we can't fully identify what all things AI truly is or can be. But I wonder, can we benefit from it ultimately in a coexist kind of way? Can AI be the thing that goes, you know, because humans trying to create peace with humans doesn't work.
Well, I mean, yeah,
and I always wondered,
you know,
if aliens came down from space, would that be the thing that gets everybody on Earth going, you know, oh, we're all on the same team because we actually need another thing.
Right. We need a common enemy.
Can AI be our moderator that says, hey, you guys need to shut up and right. listen. You can survive on this planet, but you need to do these things. And then we all just agree that's right or fake news. I read the funniest news thing today is that Republicans are now wanting to block a bill to extinguish disinformation on social media. And they are the political party that hypes how fake the news is. They constantly talk about fake news, and now they don't want to this disinformation. It's
I don't understand this. They this is federal, this is Congress.
Yeah, so I don't know the details of it because I was reading about it. By the way, if anyone listening to this, I get a lot of information from Heather Cox Richardson, which I think is a great outlet for not just current day information, but actual just historical, like where does, you know, obviously easy one, where does 4th of July come from? But like details of like stories where you go, oh, that's an interesting tidbit from history I didn't know about, you know,
yeah.
X. But also Judd at Popular Information, and everything should be read with a grain of salt, but I read both of those things. But yesterday Trump appointed Judge Terry A. Doughty of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana issued a preliminary injunction saying the First Amendment prevents the government from trying to stop the spread of disinformation.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. Well, freedom of speech, I guess, right? So
yes.
And I historically speaking, I suppose yellow journalism, you know, that's kind of what that was. So yeah, I mean, it does. That doesn't mean that's going to make us any better. You know, that's an interesting hill to go up and die on. You know,
I just thought it was funny because it's like, hey, that's it's everyone's First Amendment right to be able to publish fake news is like
right.
basically what
right.
highlights.
Right. Out yeah. To yeah, yeah.
You hate fake news, but now here's the thing going, hey, let's get rid of fake news. You're like, whoa, that's not, you can't get rid of fake news. That's not fair.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
a mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 86, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 58. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered storms. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 88, a blend of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and this is the Cripes Cast. You are listening to my conversation with comedian Rory Scoville.
Speaking of news, you were a newsman back in the day, weren't you?
Right. Yeah, you? I worked at a local news station in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Oh, I was doing Spartanburg.
Camera.
Nice.
Yeah. Camera guy. So I had headphones on that were slightly bigger than these. And just framing up shots, getting the anchors.
You were an in-studio guy. Did you ever go out and about or just in studio?
The only time I went out and about was to try to get footage of as many Friday night high school football games as possible. So you'd go with, there'd be two of you, you'd go as a team. And there in the upstate, there are so many high schools and there's so many games. And I think News Channel 7 prided itself on somehow collecting a significant amount of highlights. Like that was their claim to fame. So we like really hustled. So if you and I were on a team, one of us would drive feverishly to a game. You would jump out and you'd try to get one complete pass, a pan to the scoreboard, you know, because by the time we report the results of the games are over because it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
But the games are always at like 8 p.m. So a bunch of different groups of two, sometimes you'd go by yourself, whatever spread people out, and you'd have five high school games you're trying to go get footage of, and you get your standard stuff like there's the cheerleaders, there's the crowd, there's a play, there's the coach mad, there's the scoreboard, and we're off to the next. And then someone would quickly cut all that together, and Pete Yannity would sit there, and while all those are playing, the clips are playing, everyone in the studio, we're sitting on the stage because you're not getting any footage of the actual anchor, and we're just watching the screen, which keeps showing highlights while we hear him talk about the scores in the game.
That
was a long story you didn't ask for at all.
No, it's like you're like Nightcrawler for football.
Yes, that is a perfect description. That's exactly right.
I used to do news too. I did news in Dallas. I was like an anchor kind of. Well, they wanted to do like comedy news, like it was called Nightcap, a different kind of news. And then after being there for like 3 months, they're like, all right, we tried this. Let's go back to the traditional stuff. And then shortly right after that, I lost my job. But it's such a weird thing, local news, and kind of how it's, you know, I think it can be really impactful, but the way they tend to do it, you know, is often not super. And I don't want to generalize all news stations, but like TV news, such a tough thing to do, like actual journalism. And you kind of have a lot of constraints in that.
A lot of constraints. And also, even now, by today's standards of how sensationalized news is, and now news is opinion, talking heads. It's more of a form of entertainment disguised as news.
Yeah.
It has to make it even harder for local news that just wants to tell you that this guy Barry is opening a new milkshake store on Main Street. And here's him.
those are the best ones too, you know, those that, but yeah, you got like these bigger like Sinclair or whatever buying up a bunch of stations, and then, you know, that's when you get those everyone saying the same script over and over again.
Exactly. Yes.
It's a little disheartening, but speaking of Spartanburg, you're from Greenville. I lived in Greenville for like a year and a half.
When
I lived there 2011 to like 2013, okay, somewhere around what, there.
What took you there?
I'm so glad you asked. It was this thing called 1 Minute News. And okay, there's do you know Doug Greenlaw at all? Does that name ring a bell? Oh, no. You don't know the green laws down there. Okay. He worked for MTV and then he started this, this like YouTube news channel. So I worked there for like a year and a half. That was my first like on camera position. But yeah, I had a place, I forget, over in one of those old mills that they turned into like condos or whatever.
Off Augusta, off Augusta Road, like Pleasantburg.
I think. Somewhere. I kind of forget the streets, but those sound really familiar. You know? Yeah.
There's I know what you're talking about.
There's a bike path that kind of goes along the river, that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Greenville's a nice town. Do you like it?
I do like it. It has changed dramatically over the past 20 years since I've been in that area. And, yeah, it's beautiful. It's a really great city. It has become strangely so many condos that are very expensive, and I've always wondered who lives in these condos that you have to purchase, because the purchase price of those condos is the same as going 5 minutes away and buying actual land and a house.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't know the main industry there, but there must be a hospital. That seems like a hospital kind of salary type thing, you know?
It's crazy. Truly it's awesome. But I do think they are going down a road of becoming so many condos. And I don't know anything about the history of cities and their evolution. I mean, maybe that's what all cities are, and it's just not as noticeable. But I do like that it's growing. I think they regret being on every top 10 list for like best mid-sized city in the country to live in. Greenville's always on there, and I think they're regretting that. And I think that before that was a bragging point. Now they're like, everyone is moving here. Like, yeah, everyone looks at that list. They're like, oh, let's move there. That seems like a great place. And they're right. It is. It is a great place.
Did you start doing comedy there? Where'd you kind of get your start?
I went up in Spartanburg once before deciding I was going to move to DC, where my sister lived, to sleep on her couch and get a job and start doing open mics.
Okay.
So I didn't really start in Greenville, or really when we talk about like doing it and starting to do it, I didn't really do that till DC.
Well, what was your first, did they have an open mic in Spartanburg?
So they had an open mic poetry night. So when I graduated, I stuck around. I graduated in 2003, 20 years ago, which seems insane to even say, but I graduated in May of 2003. And that's when I started, you know, I was working at the radio or the news station, news channel. And I just one night was like, you know what, I'm going to go do this open mic poetry night. I'm going to see if I can do stand up. And it was at a place called the Guitar Bar. And I called and they said, we don't run the poetry night. You can do whatever you want. You can tell jokes. For some reason, I thought the rules were so hardened at these things. You know what I mean? Yeah. When you don't know a community. So I was like, well, it's a poetry night. They probably will be angry if I tell jokes. But I got there and the poets, there were four poets, and I brought everybody. I mean, I told so many friends I was going to go on stage. It's December of 2003. The exams have just finished and no one has left for Christmas break yet. So many people showed up. I think it was a Monday night. So many people showed up to watch me do stand up and get drunk because, oh my God, our friend is going to go on stage. This is crazy. There's nothing else to do. Let's go watch this and drink beer. We were going to drink beer anyways. So the guy at the Guitar Bar said I could do whatever I wanted because I brought the entire audience. The poets, they were like, can you just go last? Because we've never had an audience and we don't want people to leave.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand anything. I mean, I didn't even know what I was going to even be doing up there. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't know what this is. But I must have brought like anywhere from 20 to 40 people. I always say that because, you know, our memories decide to exaggerate things. Like there were 100 people there.
Right.
You know, it definitely it could have been 40, but it also could have been 20. And anyways, I went on at the end and I talked for like 30 minutes doing crowd work. It was all my friends in the audience. So I did like crowd work. And I also told jokes that I thought were a bit, but I didn't know what I was doing at all.
So, OK, I think this is a very clear.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Winterfield is the site of today's contest as the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters back home against the Fond du Lac Dust Spiders on this Sunday afternoon matinee. Good afternoon, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Well, a big win for the Rafters last night. They took down the Dust Spiders 6-1. They almost shut them out, but Fond du Lac got a run in the bottom of the ninth. But it started off with the Rafters in the top of the fourth inning, three runs of their own, and it was led by Brendan Bobo, a solo shot to center field to get things going. And then from there, the Rafters did not look back. Three runs in the fourth, and they got another three runs in the seventh. And it was a big day on the pitching side as well. Bryson Parrish was able to get the start. He came in second after Kalen Graham, who initially got the start on the mound. Bryson Parrish picked up the win, as those two had a big day. And when it came to Kalen Graham, he only allowed really one hit and had four strikeouts. So it was a big day for him. Bryson Parrish came on in the fifth inning. Five hits, allowed a run, and five strikeouts. So he had a big day as well. So that was great to see on the pitching side of things for the Rafters. On the hitting side, they were great. You know, they had guys that really contributed to their success. I mean, having six hits but getting six runs because of it was a big thing. Ty Johnson went 1-for-4. Jorge Degatti, he had a big day as well. He went 2-for-5 with an RBI. But Brendan Bobo, 1-for-4 with a 2-RBI day. So really big for him. And once again, up to 9 home runs on the season. So looking to continue that here today. So the Rafters going with Johnny Ancervitz. He's going to get the start on the mound, as he's a guy that hasn't really been in the starter role this season. He's got a 1-0 record where he's picked up a win. But really, you know, other than that, he really has come in a lot towards 7, 8, 9 innings. 9 out of the 13 games he's appeared in, he's only pitched an inning. So he's a guy that's in a kind of a new territory and a kind of a new role here, with a little lack of pitching staff for the Rafters. They're going to need guys to step up, and Ancervitz certainly is one of those guys. Johnny Ancervitz, a guy that's had 13 games, appeared in with a 1-0 record. And the win he's had was against the Dock Spiders back on July the 14th. He's had 15 innings of work with 10 hits, 5 runs, but 17 strikeouts. So definitely more of a reliever, but getting that start today. So we'll see how he gets going. And David Smigelski will be getting the start behind the plate. So the catcher from LaGrange College, so looking to see what he can continue to do. And Garrett Broussard at first, Chris Conniff at second, Jorge Degatti at third, and Aiden Brewer back at shortstop, so he's at the sixth position. At left field, Anthony Gallison back in the lineup. Center field, you have Orlando Lordoy, and at right, Brendan Bobo. The DH, which is really interesting, we haven't seen him really DH, I think, at all this season. Ty Johnson, so normally a center fielder or a second baseman, but he's leading off, so he's in the DH spot. As for the Dock Spiders, Sebastian Guzman getting the start on the mound, and a guy out of Washington U, St. Louis, and from Garden Grove, California, has appeared in 9 games with a 1-4 record. A game against Rafters, he lost back on June the 23rd. He went 5 2/3 innings. He allowed 5 hits, 3 runs, and 3 strikeouts. So appearing against the Rafters once more is Guzman. As behind the plate, You have Kelson Johnson, Seth Sweetchick at first, Jack Gorman at second, Graydon West at third, and Drew Berrigan at shortstop, Travis Strickler at left field, Connor Cooney at center, and Parker Knoll, the right fielder, getting his debut for the Dock Spiders here today. So Wisconsin Rapids, a big win yesterday, but they're batting .240 as a team, which is 20th in the Northwoods League. They have 434 hits, which comes in at 16th. So a lot of their stats offensively are towards the bottom half of the Northwoods League. But they're a team that has to be resilient, losing 5 out of their past 6 games. And then they have a 2-game win streak. They took down Battle Creek the other day, 6-2. And then also maybe, you know, Dock Spiders yesterday, 6-1. So they've outscored their opponents 12-3 in the past 2 games, but they've only outhit their opponents 12-10. But it's been about getting runs home in the right moments and really capitalizing on the really lackluster pitchers of Fond du Lac and Battle Creek, who haven't been as great in their bullpen stuff as the Rafters have been. You know, they're a team, though, right now 9-10, and they sit in third for a three-way tie for Great Lakes West. They're 29-25 overall. They finished second in the Great Lakes West in the first half, but here in the second half, 9-10. So decent for them to get back, hopefully, to .500 here today. As Fond du Lac, 10-10. They're second right now behind Madison. The Rafters only 2 games back of first, so it's really jumbled in throughout the entire standings in the Great Lakes West division. So the door is open for anybody at this point. Wisconsin Rapids looking to get back and get another win so they can put themselves in a better opportunity before the All-Star break. Last game before the 3-day All-Star break, the Rafters looking to end it on a high note. A team that has been streaky at times, but this could come in because winning a 3-game win streak before the All-Star break carries the momentum into the, well, last 15 games of the season coming up. So we're just moments away, about 10 minutes from first pitch, so we'll take a quick step aside here on WFHR.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together. Bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Get out your pencils and back here inside Witter Field as the Rafters and the Dock Spiders just about 7 minutes away from first pitch. As a 105 game here in Wisconsin Rapids Raptors right now, they're looking to just continue to play better and build off of yesterday. You know, between these two teams, it was the highest margin of victory for either side as the Raptors won by 5 runs. They almost shut out Fond du Lac yesterday. The Knox Spiders got a RBI from Jake Serrain towards the end of that game, but at that point, there was already 2 down, and the Raptors just, they play really well. You look at it, 2 big innings, the 4th and the 7th inning, 3-run innings in both of them. But it was about their pitching as well. Kalen Graham, Bryson Parrish really stepped up and looking to take down an Oxbinders team today. That's batting .233 in total. That's 23rd in the Northwoods League. 428 hits, which is 17th as well. So they are a team that doesn't really bat well. But when you look at this matchup, and specifically here at Waterfield, they're 2-2 against each other. The Oxbinders and the Raptors have each split the series on both times. So Fond du Lac ended the Raptors' playoff hopes in the first half here on back on July 3rd, where it was a chance for Raptors to,